Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review 12 Hour Shift. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll do our first thoughts, and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But what have you been watching this week?
Oh, I want to talk about WandaVision.
All right. Excellent.
Because it's cool. Because we finally get introduced to which this shouldn't be spoilers by the time this episode comes out, right?
By the time this comes out, the show will be long over. It'll be just on the scrap heap of pop culture. Nobody will remember this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be like, you mean that show with that dude from A Knight's Tale, right? That one?
We'll be way deep into Falcon and Snowman. Not Falcon and Snowman. What is it? That's the movie with... That's that movie with fucking Sean Penn and Falcon...
With Bucky and Bird Guy, right?
Yeah, there you go. I could... What is the name of that show?
No, I think the show is called... super attractive black guy and super attractive white guy.
We're not Captain America. Yeah.
Oh damn! I forgot Falcon and. Yeah. We're a huge DC.
Bucky
fans
and the Wingman.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. Okay, cool. Wow, we're just...
It's a robot arm and wings guy. I love that show.
Yeah, I like, you know... What is it? Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I like our titles.
Yeah.
More appropriate. I mean, the more descriptive.
Nothing more boring than, oh, hey, how about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Off topic, Falcon and the Snowman. Great movie. Great 80s movie. Aside from that.
And off topic, the Snowman, not a good movie, but if you want to be in for a horrible ride, I highly recommend watching it.
Which actually, that movie ties into one of my, what I've been watching, but I'll let you go first with WandaVision.
Ties into something you're watching?
Well, I don't want to give it away, but yeah,
oh, like no,
an actor does.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What a horrible thing to just drop yourself into. They can finally explain Val Kilmer's character, which has like little or nothing to do with the movie, but he's there. He's in there. Yeah. Now, WandaVision. Oh my God. We finally get introduced to Agatha Harkness.
Yeah.
Which, like any fanboy can tell you, I don't know who that is.
But I'm excited. I know.
I'm excited too. I watched a couple of YouTube videos, like one in particular. I guess I'm going to shout out Comics Explained. Yeah. But he went into great detail about Agatha Harkness in like an 8-minute video. And even towards the end, he's like, you know what? But honestly, she's such an obscure character. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel can do whatever they want with her. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess there is no, like, true jumping off point other than the fact that she's normally with Wanda, right? She's kind of appears...
Or Wanda and the Fantastic Four.
Okay, yeah.
She was originally introduced as somebody that could babysit Franklin Richards.
Mm-hmm.
and she is overpowered in the comics, so she doesn't pop up too much. She's also 10,500 years old. Nice. She was there to see the fall of Atlantis. I hope they don't make her old, because not that this matters, ladies and gentlemen, but Catherine Hahn is very attractive. So, if she, you know, she can keep doing her thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, witches tend to just be young, right? No matter how old they get, so.
Witches of Eastwick, the witches, the witch.
Yeah.
I know all of them. No, I was kidding. I've seen every witch movie, Hocus Pocus. Well.
Yeah.
And that's all the witches movies in the world. Just those American titles I mentioned are the only witch movies in existence.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching? You've been watching the Snowman TV series? Is what you do?
No. Well, no. Okay, so finally got to see the Sonic movie. Very good.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Pretty funny. It's a lot of fun. I you know, nothing groundbreaking, but a fun movie nonetheless. So.
It's just fun to see Jim Carrey go full 90s Jim Carrey mode.
Yeah, that he did. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But, you know, I just felt like they made a choice and, like, I'm going to do this, which is good. I mean, it's good for the part. Ben Schwartz was actually really good too, and I liked
James Marsden.
Yeah, he was good too. Just a fun movie, just, you know.
Which again ties into Marvel, so maybe that's a crossover, and James Marsden is going to be Cyclops again.
You know how they? I had a thought when they mentioned that the only, this is spoilers by the way for Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I mean, it's been out for like over a year. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. Yeah. But this plane, it's widely available now. You don't have to spend extra money on it or rent it. I thought that there was a good in-joke to the fact that the world that he was supposed to go to was had full of mushrooms. Kind of like Super Mario Brothers, right?
Yes.
It's the mushroom
cube. Yeah. Yeah, I like that what Dr. Robotnik is clearly tripping at the end, right? He's...
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, yeah, because he's eating a shit ton of mushrooms.
Yes. Which I thought was cool. That was like a little dig, and I thought maybe... I didn't think we were going to go to that planet, but when we did, we would see some sort of like another joke about it. But it sounds like you're right. Yeah, it ended up just being like... He's clearly having like a
breakdown.
What is it? Like a breakdown there or whatever. Yeah. He's finally going to become a crazy scientist, you know? So,
oh, man.
Which that was pretty cool.
Out of 10, what would you give that that dance he does when he's, like, prepping the fucking hair, I think is what he's doing, right?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny, yeah.
I was like, this is great.
That's good.
He's, yeah. Like, so much more limber than I am at, like, I don't know, almost half his age. Well, I don't know about
he must be pushing, but... like, Jim Carrey must be pushing, like, what, like, 50 now, right? At least.
I mean, at least, right? He's born in 62, so, you know, you do the math.
Do the math. we can't, so.
Definitely over 40.
Yeah. So, I finally got to, the other thing I watched that ties into the Snowman movie was, I finally got to watch Dark Phoenix.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, as far as like 20th Century Fox X-Men movies go, I didn't think it was that bad. It was a little like just dark.
Dumb?
And
oh, dark, sorry.
Cold and cold. You know, just sort of like just a really like somber movie. On top of the fact that, yeah, of course there are some like dumb stuff. I just remember you saying like you like actively did not like that movie. At all.
Oh, man. Yeah, because, I mean, I think it's just because, I mean, this is probably not fair to say, but I paid to watch it, and I was like, oh
God.
Shit. You know, like, I paid for this. Fuck. And, like, it took me 2 days to watch it, because halfway through, I was like, no, I don't care. God, God, like, this is apocalypse all over again. What's going on?
So, yeah, what I don't understand is why was 20th Century Fox so obsessed with the Phoenix Saga? I don't understand. I don't understand why we had two at-bats at the Phoenix Saga. This one being the most scaled down, most, like, grounded one they could possibly make.
Like, the most scaled down one they've come up.
Yeah, so I don't, there's so many other, like, classic X-Men storylines that they could do, and I don't understand why we spent a good, 19 years trying to make this freaking Phoenix movie.
Yeah, no shit. I mean,
there's so many other cool stuff.
I was going to say, they had all this time to do it right. Like, I don't know why they made it, like, it's already in her sort of, I mean, I guess they do go up into space and it happens, but.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things that didn't connect.
I felt like the setup was good. I love seeing them as a team and working as a team, even if it is in space. That was interesting. I like how they got the Phoenix entity alien thing in her. That was cool. And then it just sort of just slowly from that point, just sort of for me, once she gets like the Phoenix, it kind of just goes downhill from there, you know, for me like just general interest. But this definitely feels like the death rattle of a film series. Like, so it feels like the end. Feels like the end. And I was like, when this movie was going on, I was like, I don't remember any of the relationships. And so my fiance and I were like, well, I'm going to watch the other one, Apocalypse. And so we both decided we're going to try to watch all the X-Men, but in reverse order. Because that's the path that we're on now. So.
Oh, man. So you saved the best one for last is kind of the idea, right?
I had a couple of theories there. I might do the new, whatever, the first class backwards. And then do the original X-Men 1-3 forward. And then take the Wolverine stuff, the origin, the Wolverine and Logan, and watch that sequentially, letting those be the last three. Just to make it just... you know, ridiculously complicated for no reason. That's probably how we're going to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably leave Days of Future Past last. That way, you know, you end on a banger because that one was pretty good.
That's actually next. Yeah. So that one and then First Class. Those are two really good movies. Those two movies like revitalized that whole franchise. Oh, and that was like completely in.
Yeah. What's kind of not fair is Days of Future Past, like they bring in Hugh Jackman, right? So, you know, and he's pretty much the whole movie. But yeah. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's so cool.
Yeah, I thought that's the best thing about it is that they fix the timeline for that X-Men, you know, the original X-Men to hand it off to the new X-Men. And then this movie, in Apocalypse, of course, they got to revisit it again. So now we have a very old... Wolverine meeting an incredibly young Jean Grey, and none of that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, how are you going to develop that love triangle between the three of them?
Well...
So wildly ages are inappropriate now. Which I'm assuming why he didn't appear, like, in this last movie, the Dark Phoenix, but...
Yeah, that makes sense. Or Apocalypse, I don't think, right?
Yeah, well, no, they take him to, like, whatever facility he's in so he can escape as Weapon X. And Jean's that gives him the memory or whatever.
Yeah, weird. I don't know.
It's a ridiculous movie. And all the little, you know, fate they built up in Days of Future Past was just squandered in the last two there. So,
which brings me to my last question about this is, what year is it supposed to be in Dark Phoenix?
92.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Or 91. So here's another thought I had. Okay, so Magneto is still looking like from the 60s, you know, when the whole series started in First Class. It looks exactly the same. And I don't know if this is going by decade, if it's 1992, so the X-Men... when it comes back around, Ian McKellen,
yeah,
you only have a 9-year, 8-year gap between Fassbender to Ian McKellen.
It's the Obi-Wan complex, right? Even for James McAvoy, it's going to be the the Ewan McGregor to what's his face in A New Hope.
So yeah, it just doesn't. None of it tracks. I think they could have at least like salt and peppered his hair, you know, or had it all white. That was always one of the appealing things about like Magneto to begin with. When he took the helmet off, he was like still relatively young, but he just had a full white hair. You know, he's old white hair. You know, like he looked okay. They didn't. They could have at least tried to do something like that.
Yeah, but at least in Apocalypse, they kill his family, right?
And yes, yeah, they kill his family.
It feels like that's pretty cool, and it sucks that this kind of pointless part of the story is the best part of the movie for me. But it's there.
I did like they didn't call it by name, but I like that. What is it? The sovereign island he's on is Genosha.
Oh, that's right.
I like that.
It's cool.
I like that they kind of they don't reference it offhand, but you can kind of see like Magneto starting to like built his little like own island community and stuff, which that's a fun little thing for comic readers or whatever, or anybody that knows the history. That's kind of what that was supposed to be, but
that's pretty neat. But what doesn't make sense is that if they killed his kids, then how are, if I'm not mistaken, how are Wanda and Pietro alive? And then how is Pietro alive again, right?
Is he still alive?
Well, actually, no, he's Peter in that universe, right? Peter.
Yeah, he is. He's Peter.
And it is hinted that he's, right?
Pretty much. He just is like, he is one of the best things about like that whole series, so I totally understand.
Yeah, fuck
you.
Yeah.
Know,
I mean, yeah.
Marvel's decision to kind of slip him in there as Quicksilver, because there was like no fanfare for Aaron Taylor Johnson at all.
Sorry, yeah.
In the original Age of Ultron, yeah.
And they try to pull that whole 90s relationship that they had, which is like, no, I don't know.
But, you know, I go on and on and on, but that's pretty much all I've been watching. So
nice,
I'll give you an update on my X-Men rewatch.
Yeah, nice. Very good. Well, I'm not going to do that. So thank you for you on behalf of all our listeners for doing that for us.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We review the movies you don't want to watch again.
Again, yeah. We'll give you hot takes, spicy takes.
Which brings us to what our movie of the day, which has one of the most terrifying titles. 12-hour shift? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Even though that's pretty standard for my industry, right?
Yeah, that's true. 12 hours. I actually had a thing with that, but before we do that, do you want to give us the 5-word?
Yeah, I've got two of them, and one I really love because it's so cheesy. All right. For 12-hour shift, my first 5-word review is Lost Kidney Brings Family Together.
Okay, there you go.
But the one I really love that it's so good. It rolls off the tongue. Family Ties Kill Hospital Lives. You're welcome, everyone. You don't even have to watch the movie. That explains everything. No, I'm just kidding. No, please. Please watch the movie.
before you give your first thoughts, should we get a word from our sponsor?
Oh yeah. Let's go ahead and roll that ad, and I'm super stoked we have sponsors.
They say Sprite Cola is bad for your organs. Well, guess what? I say fuck that kidney. Sprite Cola! Remember to stick a couple of spurts in your cooler for a job well done at the end of the day. Sprite Cola!
All right, and we're back. John? Do you want to give your first thoughts on 12-hour shift?
Yeah, sure do. So, Bria Grant, which I hope I'm saying that right. Please. Hopefully.
That's the name we landed on. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. We're going with that. if it helps, Bria or Brea, I'm going to assume Bria. Oh, we're from Texas too. So sorry. I feel like maybe she had the first couple of seasons of Fargo fresh in her memory. Because a lot of this movie played out like the first season of Fargo for me, especially the whole like drum track, right? Which might not be, I mean, it might be the composer who was also the DP, right? There's a lot of double dipping right here, which I thought was like, dude, like such a fun movie.
Oh, we got like, we got quadruple dipping on certain people.
But yeah, no, I loved it. It was like, I was there for it. It was a lot of fun, an especially dark comedy, and yeah. Oh, that was fucking, it was so good. And then we got Miss May as a lead, right? I'm talking about May the movie.
Mm-hmm. Angela Bettis. Yeah.
Yeah, but she was great. I mean, they were all great. Like that Kathy character, she was so fucking infuriating the whole movie. And I was like, dude, she's killing it. Like, she's so good. Like, pretty much every... I liked every actor in this movie, which, you know, rarely happens. So I was like, dude, everybody's so good. They're so fun.
Yeah.
Even Mr. Mankind himself, I was like, hell yeah. This movie's Mick perfect Foley. Now. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what'd you think?
Before I give my thoughts, I just wanted to ask, have you ever had a soul-crushing job?
I mean, yes, but I never had the jobs long enough to really let it hurt me. But I have definitely picked up jobs in this industry that were very soul-crushing, and I was like, ugh. You know, you get to a point where I just realized, you know, I talk very openly about this stuff, and it's like, oh, that's why I'm never going to get hired again. But, you know, you get some of these jobs where you get some sort of managerial position, and the job is so dreadful at points. You're like, you know what? Come on, just fucking fire me. You'd be doing me a favor. Gotten there.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah, same. The most soul-crushing job I had was back in Texas. I had like an office job where I packed LED lights. That was pretty much just like, I'm busy for an hour packing lights, and then I did nothing for like 4 hours. So, and then the only bright spot was there was a 7-Eleven nearby. So that's where I would journey off to find something, anything, snacks, whatever.
Where was this? Was this back in Texas?
Yeah, this was back in Texas.
We had 7-Elevens?
The year before. Yeah, we did. I think what is it? I forget. The Valeros.
Oh, I had just left when that happened. Sorry, I just moved here to LA when that happened. I forgot about that.
Yeah. They changed a lot of the like convenience stores, didn't really like match up with the gas stations, and so there were like a few 7-Elevens and Valeros and Stripes, and then there would be, the gas would be like something completely different.
Oh, interesting. Would sell. You would say gasoline.
Something like that. I don't...
Texaco.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I just think that like, I bring that up only because I feel like that's sort of where a lot of the mindset of these characters are. I mean, she has to do a 12-hour shift in a hospital, right? Or like, well, is it really a hospital? It's a...
It's definitely an abandoned building that they use for a set. No, I'm just going to be good.
What, how do they refer... I mean, they refer to it... I guess she's just like a nurse, right? She's a nurse at a...
she's just a nurse that has a serious drug problem.
Yeah. And again, like, I really loved Angela Bettis. I think she's one of my favorite actors.
Dude, she's so fucking good.
She just has this face that just illuminates like weatheredness and vulnerability. She's just like, just very interesting to watch. You know what I mean? She's just one of the best parts of the movie. And there's like pretty much a female character in every part of this, which is actually really cool to see.
Oh man, yeah, it was fucking
everyone,
it was great.
Like you mentioned.
Pretty much the main people.
Well, I had a note on the music. A lot of it, like, I was watching it with subtitles, and they referred to it as opera music.
Opera music.
Yeah, like, opera music would begin, and then I think they, remixed it as the movie went on. And I think it was interesting because the opera music in the beginning, as it progressively goes on, it had, this grandiose music choices and stuff like that. But a lot of the decisions they're making are, they're just like petty criminals, right? Like, kind of like what you had mentioned. Yeah. That very similar to Fargo. That's actually one of the movies that came to mind. It reminded me a lot of Fargo. The original movie about how these criminals do like this really kind of small, petty crime. And then they eventually there's like bigger choices involved with it and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you even say the music as far as like the first season? Every time Adam Goldberg and the mute guy, his hitman partner, would come out, you remember they would always have like that drum, like it's like very jazzy drum beat come in. And I was like, oh, dude, yeah, this is so cool. Which I guess, like I had mentioned before, the composer was also the DP.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, was it Matt Glass, right? Matt Glass.
Yeah, that's a real name, Matt Glass. We believe you.
But yeah, I mean, but I will say whether I liked the movie, I don't think I enjoyed it overall. I think this is a really indie movie, and I think that there's just a lot of there's no real likable character in this movie, which is kind of like the thing that pushed me away from it. You know what I mean? When we could talk about it, we could talk about who they are in spoilers if you want, you know, we kind of just dissect it and stuff. But that was my general sense was there are things about it that I think that they did well. And I think that, this is, Brea Grant's first movie, right? So, I mean, there's definitely some things that is a little rough around the edges a little bit on certain things. But I think that there's really solid acting, really good acting, and with a story that I don't think completely gels for me. So I'm mixed overall.
Oh, okay. I mean, how'd you feel about it being set in 1989?
Yeah, I didn't understand how that tied overall to the movie. Maybe I missed something.
I'm actually not sure either, but there was a lot of mentioning of, I mean, aside from the title card at the beginning, there's a lot of mention of Y2K.
Yeah. Which I thought maybe this would be set during Christmas or something, or maybe that there was hysteria. You know, there was a bunch of hysteria at that time about Y2K and everything.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know much about Arkansas, right? That's where this takes place, but I, because I don't know much about it. I thought it would be snowing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was rainy, right?
Yeah. I also just off the top of my head, I think there was a continuity, not a continuity mistake, but a product mistake, because she's, when she goes to that gas station, this is just completely off topic, something I thought of, but when she goes to the gas station, she buys Hot Cheeto Puffs, but those didn't come out then. They've only come out maybe in the last 5 or 6 years.
Explain yourself, Brea Grant. Explain. No, just kidding.
So that, you know, that's just super nitpicky thing that, you know, as a flaming hot Cheeto person, that's just infuriating. So
I did see a moment where somebody, I think it was a gas station stuff too, I think they end up drinking Surge, right? I think it was Surge in the can, which I was I haven't seen Surge in a can in a long time, but I don't know if that was actually what it was. But yeah, there's a couple of mentions, the Fila shoes, the candy sandals, right? I think are very late 90s, early 2000s. But other than that, I had a hard time, when it was mentioned again, this is just one of the only things, because personally for me, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I just didn't understand why it needed to be mentioned, I guess. I wasn't sure what the whole connection to it being 1989 was.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Cool. Did you want to just, these spoilers? You want to go into spoilers now?
Oh, you know what? It just occurred to me, this also establishes why nobody has a smartphone. So that would probably end the movie very quickly.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
So, I don't know. Yeah. A couple of the, you know what? All right. Okay, Bria Grant. Okay.
Checkmate.
We are not as established podcasters as we think we are, because we missed that. Even though David Arquette was not that old yet. He was still doing Scream.
Screaming, yeah, as far as I remember.
Yeah, let's get into spoilers. I don't know. What'd you think of that beginning conversation? I really enjoyed that whole.
Yeah, I think the when I was reading the review. I mean, just like the plot summaries and stuff for this movie. Comedy came up, right? Like as one of the things. Like, oh, okay. And the comedy I think is very subtle. Like, there's a lot of little things, little nice touches she did, and there's a lot of like really dark comedy that just like really gets messed up, especially towards. When they start like killing, when they lose the organs and they just start like killing people. So I thought like in the introduction, I thought the conversation she has with that character, and then she just basically tells her to just go like fuck off or whatever. It was actually really funny.
She's like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Cause that other lady said, she kind of poked fun at her being thin. And said, "My mom always, my mom always told me you can't trust a thin girl, because when they're not eating, they're plotting." And it was like, yeah. "Oh man!" So far, like all the people that do really bad, like really bad things, are all thin. And I was like, "That's funny."
Yeah. Everybody was incredibly thin. Even all the nurses, our coworkers, and everybody.
And the only one that. Couldn't really be held accountable for anything bad. The Karen character. I don't know. She was.
Yeah, but she was the one. She was the one getting the organs, right? Like she was the one getting
setting the whole thing up. She's kind of the ringmaster.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So everyone's pretty much has unlikable things. Like our main character, Mandy. She's basically a drug addict.
Keeps stealing organs.
Karen is the keeps stealing organs, killing people. But like Regina really is like the epitome of like the bottom of like in terms of like characters. Like her character just did anything and everything to kind of get her way, or just horrible problem solver. She has like the cousin or whatever. Like she just has this
not cousin,
and she just like. Pretty much just makes every possible bad choice throughout the movie. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's very good. Because at the beginning, I was like, holy shit. This character is so... It's like... I got so antsy every time they did anything. And then, you know, when you kind of like roll into what this is supposed to be, it's like, oh my God, this is fucking funny. Like when... She had to remove her shoes, her sandals... Because at one point she kills some skater kid and tries to steal his kidney. Okay, because the whole setup is she's supposed to pick up a kidney at the beginning of the movie to deliver to Mick Foley, right? And there's this whole dialogue that happens where she's talking about Spurt Cola. Thank you, sponsors. Spurt Cola. And which, by the way, graphics team, designer, like, good job with all that stuff. That was really, it looked really good. And she has this whole monologue about grabbing a couple of colas and putting them in the cooler so she can drink them as like a job well done. And then she just closes it and walks away without grabbing the kidney. And you find out Mick Foley's like somebody he's related to really needs a kidney. Which, like at this point, they lose that kidney, which I'm assuming was like a blood match. So whatever kidney they're going to give Mick Foley is not going to go well either. So, you know, like that whole part of the movie is like they're just trying to buy time.
Right.
But yeah, she's trying to find another kidney and she kills that skater kid outside the hospital. And she accidentally grabs his gallbladder because she doesn't understand the difference between kidneys and ovaries.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, where are your shoes? And she's like, oh, well, that skater kid I killed, right when I killed him, he shit all over my shoes, so I had to remove them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, this, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this movie. What, David Arquette is there, sort of?
Yeah, he shows up. He was like a producer. He shows up as one of the producers, and he plays this part where he's like a prisoner who tried to kill himself, to take it to that hospital.
And then he ends up killing the cop that's like trying to oversee him.
Oh, a couple of cops. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that was a good part.
Yeah, that was fun. And I looked it up and there's this new, I mean, it's off topic from the movie, but there's this wrestling documentary about him trying to join the WWF or like the something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have it. I saw the trailer for that. I have it. There.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
You can't. So, interesting story. Off topic of that. There's a scene in there where he gets sliced in the throat because he ends up doing some sort of like death match or something, right? Some sort of like hardcore match.
Oh, okay.
And he gets sliced his throat, and then he like I guess leaves the match or something like that during his wrestling thing. That actually took place at the Hi-Hat.
Oh, really? Hey, yeah. Highland Park, shout out.
Because I remember reading about that. They had it on the Insider or something like that, that he was there and that he was going to have a match or whatever, like a death match, only to hear like hours later that they had to either stop it or like something where like because he actually got stabbed in the throat,
yeah.
David Arquette. And that's like, I saw the trailer for that. I think the movie's called You Can't Kill
something
David Arquette
like that,
or something
yeah.
like that.
Which Matt Glass was also a post-producer on, so I guess they all kind of know each other.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, and apparently that's where they... it's in the documentary, so I'm like super curious to see what it is about, what's going on there.
Yeah.
So
good deal. But getting back to Brea Grant's...
12-hour shift.
Yeah, 12-hour shift. Yeah, he had like a real fun part.
Mm-hmm. He did.
But I think like the person that probably had the best part, as long as he got paid, was the half brother that you find out is a half brother of our. I was gonna say protagonist. There's no protagonist in this, but. Angelina Bettis or the Mandy character's half brother is like comatose because he ODs, and then he just stays that way the rest of the movie.
yeah,
that I don't know that character. I mean, there's a lot of like really fun side characters. The old lady who has Alzheimer's was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I mean, it's a really difficult thing to kind of blend like horror and comedy. There was some funny stuff. And I felt like when they start like having to come up with a second kidney, like the violence level just goes straight up. I mean, it just gets like absurd, right? Like it just the way it builds off each other. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Which, yeah, the Kathy, right? The cousin?
The cousin was, I think, Regina.
Regina.
Do I have my characters?
I don't know why I'm failing to remember the cousin's name, but she, what does she do? She decides to take matters in her own hands, find Scrubs, because somehow she got led into that wing of the hospital, which was also like, there's a couple of moments, like there's some plot holes here, but she gets in there and this one guy is going through dialysis. Mm-hmm. And it's just like funny. It's like if anybody, like most people know what dialysis is. It's like, oh, your kidneys are failing all the time. So you got to keep redoing, you know, filtering them out. And she decides to like pour bleach down this dude's throat, which also would ruin the kidney, mind you. You know, like, oh, yeah. It was so funny. I mean, yeah. A lot of good stuff in this. That one minor character, the Mr. Kent character, the white guy mm-hmm. with the glasses, the bald guy, he was really funny.
He was excellent.
Yeah, like they made some amazing casting choices.
Yeah, and you know, aside from Angela Bettis, like, there's, I didn't really think I've heard or seen any of these other actors, and I thought they were all good. They all seem like normal people, but they all fit the part that they're cast in well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that one dude, the guy that with the rat tail, the guy that was sent by Mick Foley. That guy, yeah. Was like, I don't know why I like this guy so much, but I do, like, a lot. He was really funny.
Yeah, no, he was. He was like, he had some really good lines and well done too. He was excellent.
I don't know. Yeah, it was a great film. Should we go into deeper spoilers? I don't know. Like, this is such a, it's like one of those movies where, like, you're watching it and it doesn't really let up. It just, like, keeps going, and then it just keeps getting worse and worse. And every time you think there's going to be, like, a break of relief, you know, like something else happens. Like, ugh. I thought the end was really fun. Where she finally gets her 12-hour shift. She gets in her car and she basically passes out, and then her alarm goes off. And it's not even like she's upset or whatever. She just, like, puts her hair back up and goes straight back into the hospital. And then it's fun to see mm-hmm. Mick Foley walk in right behind her. And I'm like, ah, it never ends for this woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they do a cool job of, like, start rolling credits and start thinking, oh, we're at the end of the movie. She's going to go to sleep. We're done. And then, like any soul crushing job, I mean, she feels like you get no rest at all and you're right back at work.
Yeah.
You live at work, you know?
Another character I really enjoyed was the, was he like a security guard or was he like an orderly? I'm not sure. Or the EMT guy. I think it was an EMT guy that was mm-hmm. hanging out. And you remember when the church going lady starts to sing a song while she's praying in the church? He, like, picks up the song yeah. and starts singing it. I was like, it's a little weird, but yeah, that was fun. Like,
there's a straight up musical moment in
yeah,
here, right?
Like, this is cool. I mean, it's like, because, like, why not? Like, the movie's just set up to be like anything can kind of happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a crazy moment. It was so unexpected. You know, they just all start singing. It's like Magnolia, right? Like,
yeah. And I do end up being the love interest for the Karen character, the one who's kind of like the spearheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like randomly at the end, I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. Which makes me think that he's in on it too, which is how they kind of get, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah, that's probably where she, way for her to like get him through him. He would have access too,
because he would know, like, oh, this person's like not gonna make it, so I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, very cool. Like, yeah, and there's a lot of like fun little like random moments like that. And again, going back to the Alzheimer's lady, she's like, oh, god, that's so funny. The cousin, I think, decided she was gonna try to kill her, but then she came to, right? They thought she was gonna be comatose forever, and she comes to, and then she has to lie to the other nurse and say, like, no, I know this lady. And she's like, oh, do you? What's your name? What's your last name? And she's like, something like Peters. And the Alzheimer's lady's like, well, that's my married last name. And it's
yeah.
And it just keeps going. Like, oh, no, I met her in church. And she's like, I do go to church.
Yeah.
And then that comes, like, full circle at the end where one of, the like, Mick Foley's, like, goon mm-hmm. is choking her to death, and she comes in and like bangs that dude on the head and goes, no, stop hurting my church friend.
Yeah. Do you want to have the last word? Is that the, what you want to leave it with there? Last word.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't have much else to say. Like, I just have nothing but like pretty much great things to say about this movie. I just thought it was really fun. Like, it made me want to, like, try to make a movie again, but then also it looked like a lot of work. Like, even, like, this was a...
Yeah.
It was, like, ambitious, I feel, but, like, it still got pulled off.
Yeah, yeah, I pretty much have the same thing. Like, it's an ambitious, like, debut film, but I think it's a little rough. I think it's a little rough around the corners, but it's a good movie. There's a lot of, like, positive things to take from it. And, you know, looking forward to see whatever... Bria does next, you know what I mean? Especially since she's working.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Working in the horror genre, you know what I mean? So, just kind of see what she does. Cool. So, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give this guy?
I think I'm going to give this
6.5 sexy spooky bones.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'll do, for myself, I'll do 4 sexy spooky bones. Cool.
All right, pretty sexy.
All right, thank you guys for listening. Next week, we will review Lake Mungo.
Mungo by Joel Anderson. Another Australian film.
Yeah. But it's all spaced out, even though...
Yeah.
So we'll be like...
We're not obsessed with Australia.
We're not.
It's by chance. You know?
Just all chance. So, as always...
Stay spooky.
Cool.
And thank you to our sponsors, Spurt Cola.
Spurt Cola. All right, keep it spooky, guys.